Alrighty, well, welcome everybody to What Are You Guys Talking About?
What are you guys talking about?
Ooh, I'm a bit excited today, Eddie, and that's why I wanted to jump straight into the episode. Usually I kind of tickle him a bit with a bit of conversation today. I was like, start the podcast. We're talking about WandaVision today, which I only recently finished the third episode yesterday.
Okay.
They are not long. They're only 30 minutes long. We will have loads to talk about today, And I think what we'll try to do... Now, obviously, we've only seen the first three, so we'll start out without spoilers, and at some point I'm going to drop spoilers in there, because I for us, there aren't that many spoilers anyway. Like, we don't...
Okay.
We know as much as you guys do, really, about what's going on in the show, but it is going
to be keeping, it's keeping things close to the chest, so to speak.
Yeah, so, and I think Ed and I are actually going to have divergent opinions on this, because I'm kind of putting this in the context of the entire MCU journey thing that I'm on.
I'm super interested to hear that perspective, though, because I feel like, you know, it actually encouraged me to watch a couple of the MCU movies, which was kind of cool.
I hope so.
But like, I'm very interested to hear what you thought.
I'm certainly going to launch into it when I can, I'm sure. But before we get into launching into anything, please remember all the wonderful ways you can get a hold of us. It is January, and people are dreary these days, so please reach out, let us know if you want to say hi, you want to talk about something, or you just want to see something on the podcast or otherwise. Our main ways to get a hold of us are the website, which is www.lovevictoriaproductions.com, which houses just about everything cool that we have in one wholesome place. So that's why I like people to kind of start there. Yeah.
Pretty loaded.
Yeah, it's completely loaded. There is a plethora of content there. Whether or not you go through it all is up to you, but it is all accessible by the menu at the top. You have all the Dirty 20 videos, so we're up to 61 videos, 61 podcasts, which I keep out there. As I said, we don't make any money off this one, guys, so we just put it out there for you guys to have. The situation will eventually change, which I'm sure our long-term listeners will have to apply for, like, lifetime memberships or something. But at the moment, this is all free and for you to have at the moment. So I would get out there and use it, especially the Dirty 20 stuff. There's so many useful tidbits on playing role-playing games. We even have a special section on that for playing them online, which is really relevant now if you're stuck at home, you're bored, and you're like, what am I going to do? Do a D&D game with your friends, man. We've got one-shots you can use. Rules are very simple and can be downloaded basically from the internet or you know, any D&D
free,
website for free. You know what I mean? It's just something to look at. But the podcast also, if you have a favorite movie and we've talked about it, or you just want to hear from two indie filmmakers, another way to kill the time. We have kind of a varied approach to that. But also you can contact us via social media. We have the Facebook page, which, you know, Love Victoria Productions has its own page, and then Edward Burgos and Jason Chereau. We also have the Instagram with JazzyJLVP and NanoLVP. And then we have our Twitter accounts, which is Mouth... I haven't used it in so long. Is it Mouth Love... Mouth Love Victoria. Sorry. Forgetting my own Twitter account there. I'm on it like every day, but I just haven't ever had to sign in. So, yeah. At Mouth Love Victoria and at Ananowski Prod are the two Twitter accounts. Again, I tend to be on the Twitter account more than anything else, but that's because I'm usually checking out what other people are up to. So, you know, any of those ways you can reach out to us. This is broadcast to you from SoundCloud, but will appear on all podcast forums, and we do like to hear from people there. But please, you know, check us out. It's a good time to be sharing this with friends, to get the word out, so please put this out to your friends. We've got lots of exciting stuff coming up as far as tomorrow. And are you signed up for the speed pitch tomorrow?
Yeah, yep, I did that today.
Good. So we've got a speed pitch tomorrow for another one of our shorts, Noche de los Muertos, which is basically the next one on the docket for me. It's going to be shot in the hail behind my house, and I'd really like to try to get it set up for June. We're just trying to get everything in place for COVID. So if you're interested or you have something you want to say about that, then please let us know. But we've got other things going on that you can check out from the website. And as always, our wonderful discussions on the MCU and everything else. And yeah, at some point we'll get that comic book show off the rails and going here.
I've been thinking a lot about that recently, actually.
I think, well, Ed, you sit on all the comics, right? Have you actually read any of the comics that I brought over there?
I've read the one that I've chosen for the first show.
Yeah, it's a point of contention for me, because I'm like, I put all these really sweet comics over at your house, mate. You haven't touched them. And I told him I wouldn't be an over-possessive collector, and it's slowly creeping up on me. I'm suddenly like, but you're not reading the comics, Ed! And they're
I'm terrible at reading.
No, he's the bestest friend, and trust me, they're a lot less trouble over at his house than they would be seeing in a pile at mine. So, You know what I mean? But we are going to do this comic show. I'm really kind of wanting to do it now because I read so many good comics every day. I've got like a different comic that I'm like, oh my God, somebody should hear about this. So I think that's going to be the format of the show. I think I'm very much, we're just going to take a comic, tell you about it. And I don't know whether we'll do it weekly. We'll do it bi-weekly. We'll do it, you know, once every other day. I don't know. I got a ton of comics to get through. So it's a matter of just me trying to get the word out about some great stuff that you should be reading. And us continuing, it's for me, you know, just to explain a bit, it's a source. The MCU and all this stuff is a source I use for material. Like, it's great. I think comics are really great for me to see shots because I think they show things visually really well. Now, obviously, you can't always, you know, do a comic book
match
shot.
Match the shot, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but it gives you an idea of how it would be framed if you were going to shoot it that way.
People get paid a lot of money to work out how to do those shots.
Well, this is what I mean. Like, it's, I guess it's my closet hope. Like, I've got indie producer, indie director written all over me right now, right? I'm like, indie, do it myself. It's actually with the sly hope that I'm like another James Gunn in the background, right? And that someone comes around and realizes that I'm gaga for comic books and all things big and is like, well, he made some good indie films, so let's give him a big budget. I'll be like, yay! Then all those comic books will come to light for Love Victoria Productions. Anyways, okay, so that's everything you can catch out with us. On to WandaVision. Do you want me to go first? Or do you want to go first, Ed?
You go first, man. I mean, this was, you know, you are the MCU dude.
I am, and I'm actually taking this. Obviously, I'm taking this, we think, out of the timeline. You know, that's another story in itself, which I'll save for the second half of the podcast when we will do spoilers. But, okay, so first impressions. Is this your typical MCU? No. Is this your typical MCU TV? Almost. MCU TV has always been a break from what the actual movies are. And that's something that, like, it took me a long time to understand. Because even S.H.I.E.L.D. is not exactly like the movies. Like, it doesn't have the same flow. It's more of a Buffy the Vampire Slayer, too. Because Josh Whedon is the one behind a lot of what they do in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right, his brother is, like one of the creators, isn't he?
I think so. It's Bob Whedon, right?
Something like that. Yeah.
And then Joss's name's on the, I think, is an executive producer on the credits.
Yeah, because I think it might have come off, I'm pretty sure it came off the back of Avengers, because that's where Coulson, you know, became the legendary kind of character and stuff.
Well, and this is the thing, some things you have, I would class as MCU friendly, and other things are like MCU related when it comes to the TV. And everything else, really. I'm actually playing Marvel Super Heroes, the Lego Marvel Super Heroes, with my daughter, which she loves because I'm ridiculously knowledgeable about it, and she has just discovered how cool Iron Man is for the first time. So, do you know what I mean? Like, we're going through all that, but, you know, that's something I would class as MCU friendly. Now, it's not canon. There's a bunch of stuff in there. I had to explain to her, like, well, the X-Men people aren't in the real stuff, but you know, all the stuff for MCU is canon. It's just, all right, so what's a good example? Like, S.H.I.E.L.D. will make you think of MCU. It'll make you think of the last MCU film you watched, whether that's Black Panther in my case, or you know, a lot of other things. And then there's a lot of other shows, and there's like things like Agent Carter, which was kind of a really good backstory, and I think again has that kind of family value that's very Disney, very MCU film like. But then you have things like Daredevil, Iron Fist, The Defenders, Luke Cage, all the Netflix shows. You have The Runaways, which was the Hulu show. And they all have kind of a different flavor. And some of them really stray from the mold. And so things like at the moment, I am watching season 2 of Jessica Jones. Okay? And I know this is a really long intro as to why you may or may not like WandaVision, so I apologize. I'm just trying to...
No, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, so this is kind of my vision for the podcast, because this is what I'm fascinated to hear. Because you've been on this whole journey of, like, you know, going from Iron Man 1 all the way, I think you're almost...
That's right. Next movie.
You're a stone's throw away from exactly. So I think it's really interesting to contextualize like how the MCU has changed over time, and I think that, you know, the early Marvel TV stuff I think is a very interesting counterpoint. So I'm fascinated to see how you see them in comparison.
Quality-wise. And to be fair, I'm going backwards about it. I'm kind of walking around how I came up with my thought when really we've asked for kind of the conclusion first. So the conclusion I would say to you about WandaVision from my perspective is it's a masterpiece. An absolute masterpiece of the MCU. But it follows the I'm not an MCU movie show. Like, I guess the best way I could put it. Like, it is not typical. It is not going to be, you're not going to turn it on and say, oh, I'm watching another MCU film. No, you're going to do just the opposite. Now, this may land better with American audiences because of the sitcom background. That's another aspect of the masterpiece that's going on here, which we'll talk more about after we get some of Ed's views. But in my view, watching in a whole, this is how Phase 4 has to happen. So Phase 4 is happening after Infinity War is ended. So you've had the death of a lot of important characters. And for people that have only been on the film journey, that might be really tragic for you. You might be really like, oh my God. For a comic book reader, that's not necessarily a big deal at all. Exactly. Like, it's a soap opera. And people die in a soap opera and then they come back. And, like, you know, just like professional wrestling or actual soap operas, like, they're always changing things. You know what I mean? That's just how they work. And so, you know, the arc is, from what I can tell, everything it was supposed to be. I think, you know, we could get into how I feel about the television shows. Well, that's a good point. The television shows that I'm watching right now, Jessica Jones season 2, finally are starting to veer closer toward a central theme of talking about this universe. But for the longest time, the Netflix films and the Hulu series were completely separate whatsoever from the world, aside from very few references. Obviously, they all take place in New York, so there's an increase. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. But WandaVision is not like that. So if you watch the Netflix stuff, if you watch Daredevil and you were like, I like it, but it's way too different, that might be a problem, but its connection to the MCU won't be. Okay? Like, these are very clear. This is very clearly Wanda and Vision, okay? And it's really good because in the movies, we haven't actually had that much time with them. And I think people forget that. Like, we haven't. These are two quintessential characters of the MCU, of the Marvel Comics, you know, in general. And we really haven't had any time to get to know either of them. Now, I would say, A, you'll get to learn a ton about both of them just by watching this. And the reveals are going to tell you more as we get further on past episode three. But another reason to watch this is you could stick your, you know, your partner next to this, your friend next to this. This is just a damn good show. It's going to seem weird to everyone, and that's the thing. It's like Lost. No one's going to know what's going on, but I think that's why it's been marketed that way. So far, the three episodes I've seen, for me, an absolute masterclass, and clear that, that Disney and Marvel have spent ages on this. Ages. And I think they're clever enough to pull this off. Like, if it pulls off the way I think it will, then this is going to be one of the greatest movie or television rides of this year, if not this this decade. You know what I mean? Because you're bringing back something that was really cool in the MCU, two characters that people liked but didn't know a ton about. You know, learn more about Vision towards Infinity War and towards the end of it. But I think where you'll gain from this is seeing how Marvel is becoming more, and this is probably my final statement on it, while Marvel is becoming more than just a film company, okay? This is why they do good television. So those are my, I guess it was 4 minutes of conclusionary views. I'm just not going to try to get to a point on this show anymore because it just, it makes things go longer as opposed to shorter. When I do that at my day job, it happens the other way around, but every time I do it on a podcast, I'm like, well, there's 4 minutes, you can't get back. Ed, what were your better puts? First impressions. No spoilers.
I don't know if they'll be better put in any sense of the word, but I am a little bit less hot on it than you are. I recognize some of the incredible work that's been put into recreating some of the sitcom elements and the nostalgia for those. I think the music has been fantastic. In blending things from, you know, from Bewitched to I Love Lucy, stuff like that. But I was thinking about one of the best television experiences that I've had this year, easily, in Lovecraft Country. And I was thinking how I felt after three episodes of that and how I feel now. And I think that to a certain extent that's unfair, because I was able to jump on into episode 4 immediately, right? Like, I was able to binge until I was tired or whatever. Here, you've got that, like, okay, first two episodes, then you got to wait a week for the third one, and then so on. So I'm hopeful that it will come together nicely. But the thing that I found interesting when, as compared to some of the other Marvel TV stuff that's come before, is that this is the first time that I feel like Kevin Feige's, you know, all in on this.
It's interesting. This is the closest you've come, Ed, and this is because you're such a nice guy. The closest I've seen you come, at least, to saying that you just didn't like it, to be honest.
I it's not that I didn't like it, because I was super hyped, and when they did give you like a little bit of the mystery stuff, I was like, whoa, that's cool. I think I'd be much hotter on it if I would have been able to binge the whole thing. But I mean, to this point, I'm just not as sold, I'll be honest.
It's good. It brings up, so getting more into the indie producer stuff that we talk about, because I think this is a good time to hit on this. This goes into something that's different about this show that you should also be aware of, that we don't really need to put spoilers in to talk about. This is being marketed, obviously, as like a Friday night watch with your family show. Mm-hmm. Just like the MCU has been. So it's funny, because some of them are really violent. I'm like, well, they're still marketed to, like, my kid's playing Lego Marvel, you know what I mean? Like, and I know it has the 12 and the 13 on there, but all of her friends play it too, and I'm like, this is marketed to children. And I'm not right. Knocking that. I'm definitely not one of those people. I don't care. Like, you know, kids see plenty of things in their lifetime. But that's the thing. This is marketed as a Disney show, not as a, not like, and that's, it's just what I'm pointing out when you brought up Lovecraft Country. HBO has its style of show, which Lovecraft Country, Watchmen, you know, we could get into any of them. They would have a similar flow where by the time you get into them, you just can't get out. You know what I mean? You're just like, this is awesome. I have to watch the ride. Whereas this, I think, is very much meant to be something to get your ratings. 30 minutes, we were on a Sunday or on a Friday, you watched it, and then you walked away. And that's another thing that Disney, I think, are doing better than the other guys. Like, let me tell you, Jessica Jones is an hour each. I love season two, okay? Spoiler alert for season two. It goes into this whole big discussion about Jessica's mother, who ends up being a super like her. You get the whole backstory as to why they're doing what they're doing. And then they talk about The Raft, which has always been one of my quintessential problems. It came up the first time when I saw it in Spider-Man. So, because Spider-Man obviously takes Kingpin and some of the other guys to the raft. Some of the other supers to the raft. Not Kingpin, but some of the other supers.
Oh, is that the jail?
Yes, it's the jail attached to Riker's Island, and it's only for supers. And it's run like Guantanamo Bay. So that's what they're talking about in Jessica Jones. Like, her mother obviously is this psychotic killer. Sorry if ruining it for you. But she's a psychotic killer and trying to turn herself in, but she wants to be able to see Jessica because they just reunited after, like, being away for 10 years. And the whole thing is, like, they're sending her to the only option she has is to go to either plea and stay out of the raft, and that means she admits to her wrongdoing, or fight the claim that she's been, because this happens because she's been genetically altered, blah, 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 like, it wasn't her fault, and has an argument with a lawyer, and then she has to go to the raft. And at that point, Jessica can't see her. And I was like, it's the first time any of the Netflix shows that I can remember are tackling what the MCU does. So Black Panther obviously was tackling much larger issues, and we talked about those on this show. This is tackling the human rights issue, like, or the super rights issue. If you stick a bunch of people in an unmarked whatever, like, the comic books just do that. And it's like, it's no big deal to have somebody buried 20 meters under the sand or something. S.H.I.E.L.D. does it all the time. But, what about people's rights? You know what I mean? So it's the first time I've seen them address it. And, and Jessica Jones is the right venue for that, because Jessica Jones is a slow, deliberate, and plotting show. It's meant to be watched from beginning to end as one long movie. The first season with David Tennant was the same way. It told a very good story that was told over, you know, this one is the complaint I will make, this one's 13 episodes. It should be 8, you know, 8. Why 13 episodes? I'm on like 10 and just struggling to get the end. Not because they're bad, but because it's like so much air time.
Yeah, it's a slog. It's a slog, yeah.
So my point is, the difference with WandaVision is you're in and you're out. So even if you hate it, and I'm not saying you hated it, I'm just saying even if you did hate this, your total runtime is 35 minutes, which means just about anybody who has Disney Plus could at least stand to watch this. And it's only going to run for 9 episodes. And so total runtime is 4.5 hours. Now, to me, that is the quintessential comic book, right? And that's what you need to be replicating. So this is supposed to be based on House of M, which if you look up what House of M is going to ruin the plot for this for you, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I'm all right? not going to do
that. Don't look up House of M. But it's a comic book, you know, these are all subplots within comic books. So like the Trial of Jean Grey, which I'm reading right now, which is four comic books long. They're not meant to last incredibly long. They're arcs. And so, you know, House of M would have been either a limited series comic book that ran for 7 issues or 10 issues, and then it was done. That's what they're going to do here. They're going to give you a really, really, really dope story about Vision and Wanda that is going to have some ties back to things we know in the MCU, but is also going to give you a really new perspective on probably Wanda, if I'm honest. I don't know how Vision plays out in all this, but I can tell you, like, if this is the story that they're playing, that you're going to find out a truckload about Wanda.
And I think that that's the part of me that's excited. You know, I do sound like I'm quite down on it, but I'm excited to get more of it, and I'm hoping that by the end of it, I'll be like, oh, it was amazing. And
I think it's a valid attempt by Kevin Feige, and whether he succeeds in it or not will be down to the numbers. A valid attempt to bring the MCU to more people.
Right. Right.
This is get it clear, because we still haven't done spoilers yet, but get it clear. This is a 30-minute sitcom, guys. This is not an action movie. This is not an action show. This isn't like it has the mysteries of Lost, but it is not like Lost. It doesn't have an adventure plot. It is based heavily on sitcoms. Now there is a method to that madness that I've been picking up, I think. All I could say on that, well, we'll talk about that in spoilers time, but it is a sitcom. It's not, you know what I mean? It's not even a Jessica Jones or a Daredevil where it's a drama. Like, nah, it's a sitcom. It's meant to have a funny kind of laugh the way through it and be a bit uncomfortable. But I
do you think, and this is just kind of me looking to what it could be or what I think it could potentially be, do you think it'll stray into horror? I feel like it has the potential for that.
I don't think so. I think what it's going to do is take sitcoms over the years. So the first one, and this is getting into spoilers now.
Yeah,
so we're
spoilers.
In spoiler territory. It is 22 minutes in, so we're in spoiler land for the next 40. So the first one was like the old 50s sitcoms, and then the second one was the 60s sitcoms, and then the third one was the 70s sitcoms, right?
Yeah,
I think they're just going to keep going. The name of the next one is going to be like a Spanish telenovela.
So, oh, okay, cool.
So it'll be like, it won't be a sitcom. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's possible that when they start getting towards the 80s and 90s, blah, 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 they start moving this into a different genre as well.
Interesting.
But I think it'll generally keep the sitcom format. 30 minutes, light jokes. That's the thing, though. I don't know. Like, I think they're trying to pull off an event here, if I'm honest. It looks it. I was blown away by, like, the Easter eggs and by the way that there's something very sinister in the background here that the lid is going to blown off of. And even though you have said, like, and I'm not knocking you for saying this isn't like the HBO stuff. I remember Watchmen, okay? Watchmen was a great watch, but made no sense, really, until you find out who Dr. Manhattan is. And then you're like, this makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
And then everything started falling into place. And then by the time you're with them for that epic finale, which is just a finale, there's not actually more than those epic last scenes of, like, this is so heart-wrenching. I think you have the same thing again. I think when you find out what's really happening, you will go and it will just pull at you. And it will turn from something lovely and joyous into something that was like this great piece on, you know, figuring out the minds of these broken characters. You know what I mean? Because that's essentially what they are. So that's it. That's what WandaVision makes funny, you know? They are broken. In the comics, you can see that if you watch Age of Ultron. You can say that, obviously, I've watched Infinity Wars, but I haven't watched it recently. But you know what I mean? These were two characters that were, destined for the wrong fates. And you get glimpses of that when she's talking about her brother and singing about Sokovia. And I think that is just going to start taking a more of an oppressive tone the more we get down the line to this. The more we get towards episode 9, it's going to start flipping more.
For sure. Yeah, I really like those moments. I really enjoyed Legion, which was like an X-Men Sony Fox thing that came out a couple of years ago. And it has some elements here, but it's funny because you also mentioned The Good Place, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, no, I mean, the whole thing has the same kind of there's something wrong feel as A Good Place did. A Good Place, you always knew something wasn't quite right because you just see people running around. And when things, it's because you've watched The Truman Show. Anybody who's watched The Truman Show, every time you see something staged like that, you know, oh, wait, what's really going on here? I mean, this has clearly got something going on in the background. They're not making that a secret. They're just not telling you what it is. And I like that because then you know that, like, everything you're watching is actually kind of meta. And I think that's the point. Like, if you watch the 50s sitcom and you think it's supposed to be exactly as it is, I think you've missed the point.
Right.
That's where I think the risk is. Because you can watch it with loads and loads of people. That's not a problem. It's just somebody who's not familiar with the MCU at all may not pick up on that at all, and someone who is familiar may only subtly pick up on it. So that's where I hear you when you're saying, you know, it's a big chance with Kevin Feige on it. I mean, why do you think they took the chance? Given the way everything is right now, they could have pulled the plug on this when COVID hit and all that happened, or they could have kind of gone a different route. Why do you think Marvel is going down this route of China changing up? What do you think WandaVision accomplishes for them so far?
Well, I think that, and I hate to get too corporate about it, but I think that a lot of the decisions that Disney are making with Marvel, with Lucasfilm and stuff like that, they're thinking about the bottom line. But I think that, this was an opportunity for Marvel to kind of stamp its mark on Disney Plus, on the streaming service. And I think there's something here that could potentially be really, really cool. And see, this is the thing. I have so much trust in Kevin Feige and his kind of, stewardship of this mammoth ship that is Marvel, on the screen, that I'm willing to give him a lot of rope, and I do recognize the brilliance in the recreation of the sitcoms and those elements
from a production standpoint. It's like a funnel, right? So you're taking out sitcoms had such a broad appeal, right? So so many, you're talking like viewership numbers television wise. Obviously, sitcoms were king in America for so long. Long, still to this day, still can run a successful sitcom in the States without much problem, as long as you've got the funny going. So you've got that funnel really wide for the story, Ed, meaning you could bring in just about anybody to that first couple episodes. And why I call it a funnel, because what I think it's going to do for you is you're going to get in all these people in that first, second, and third episode now that are just checking it out. And they're saying, I'm not an MCU person, but I own Disney Plus.
Right.
I haven't watched it. Same as they did for The Mandalorian. So this was exactly what people told us about The Mandalorian when they said, hey, I've never watched before. I remember this guy when we were doing the home deliveries and no one could go to the grocery stores. I remember the home deliveries. The guy came by from Morrison's and was like, are you bored right now? And it was like, well, yeah, we're all in lockdown, man. He's like, you got to watch The Mandalorian. It's the greatest. I've never watched Star Wars in my life and I love that show. So will this do that? I don't know. What I think will happen is you're going to have people that started on it at one point and were doing, I'll just watch this to see what's going on. And then it funnels down into, oh, this is a part of the MCU storyline. So this is the key part of what's going on with that. So, do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's a chance for them to pick up more MCU fans, for people that will go back now and look at the old catalog and be waiting for new stuff to happen.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a really big thing as well, isn't it? It's like a lot of stuff has been put on hold and pushed back and, I think the fact that they had this ready to go meant that they were never going to, push it back. Although, never say never. What do I know, right? But, like, I just think it was the right moment to release something. You're going to have a lot of eyes on it. And if you're able to kind of pull it off, it could be, like, pretty monumental for the MCU if, like, this blows up.
But that's the thing. I mean, they have the figures from everybody who went to see Endgame. That was, the biggest film. I remember everybody in the office going, except for me. I kept telling people, I'm going to go, and I never went.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Like, just felt like an asshole. But But the numbers for that don't lie. I mean, people who would never watch, in my view, and this is just my view, it's probably why I don't always know things, but, you know, that wouldn't watch Marvel films went 2 to 3 times to see it. You know what I mean? Mm. So that's when I think they're going on a pull to try to get those extra people on the MCU track. And so when the next couple films come out, you know, they're already buying MCU stuff. They're already like, yeah, I love Marvel Comics stuff. It's funny, you know?
So here's a question then. How much do you think they're good? Because it's the first time that they've used film characters and like main characters and actors, right? Like Elizabeth Olsen and the guy who plays Vision, Paul Bettany, like who are amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think they're going to kind of, how much do you think what goes on in WandaVision is going to impact the larger MCU?
That I don't know. And that's where I'm questioning. Like, that's where, you know, as a fan, and this is fanboy talking now, this is when I can start talking about Kathleen Kennedy, right? Like, fanboy talking. So, production-wise, I agree with Ed. I think, especially because they had to wait so long to get this out, and there were a lot of stories about how difficult that was and how it made production, despite the fact that they had all these COVID breaks, production was still really kind of packed to try to get this done in time. But I think you had to move when you did, like Ed say. You know what I mean? Because Phase 3 is over. Phase 4 really hasn't got off the ground yet. And you've got nothing to show for it. And you want to keep people interested in the Marvel Comics universe. But whether this relates to anything bigger, like, I'm not sure. And I don't think I'm not sure if it has to. It's like, I think Kevin Feige is literally just putting a stopper down to say, like, don't forget about your favorite characters. And that's why you have to have a Paul Bettany or Elizabeth Olsen. I think some of this is also contractual. I think Paul Bettany and Elizabeth Olsen, for the caliber of their acting, Elizabeth Olsen being someone who's on the rise now, Paul, you know, is one of my favorite actors. I still...
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he married Jennifer Connelly. That was the movie. I loved her in that movie. Thought she was beautiful, and he married her. I'm like, wow, man, like, you're on a rise. I just, ever since that movie, I've been absolutely, like, enamored with the guy. I think he's wonderful. Yeah, yeah. I think
he has
that really good acting talent and that consistency. Mm. That's the other thing. Like,
and he's super charming as Viz in this, right?
That's
like,
right.
He's very funny and I really like him.
You know what I mean? So and playing, you know what I mean? Like that's the thing. I'll go into it when we get towards the end of the show. That this was a technical masterpiece for me. Like that's what I want to talk about in a lot with Ed to see what he thought of all the different things, but. You know, the geek of me who's MCU is like going crazy for all the film technique they're trying to use and getting this wonderful, and the VFX they're using to take a 50 sitcom and stick 2 Marvel characters in it. Like, that's a bigger picture kind of story to me. And that's, I guess maybe that's going back to why I like this so much. I don't like this as a part of Marvel. I like this as a concept for a show. Like, I like it as an idea. Let's put a comic book story, you know, House of M, fine. 8-issue into a sitcom that we insert on Disney Plus, and people on Disney Plus watch sitcoms. Like, I like that idea. Does it work? It doesn't seem to be so far. Like, it really like, it's one of those things that if it pulls off like completely and they say me like the numbers were amazing and people love the show and like this got tons more people, then Kevin Feige, you are officially like the smartest man in Hollywood.
I mean, it's a big moment for him.
I think regardless, as a producer, you have to take these gambles because even if it doesn't pan out, you're trying to show a structure of something that would work. You know, you're trying to say people like sitcoms, people like Disney Plus, and people on Disney Plus like sitcoms. We've got
and the nostalgia kick as well, man. Like that's massive. You know, you think back at. You know, for me, growing up in Spain, you know, we would get I Love Lucy and the Brady Bunch and stuff like that, you know. And so there's definitely a massive nostalgia kick there for me personally.
I think so, yeah. And I, like I said, I find, as much as I've seen the sentiment from the UK and from Europe on this, like, I think it has an even larger American presence for that because that was bread and butter TV on the network, you know, before there was Fox, and then after when there was Fox, you know, in the 80s it was Who's the Boss, Growing Pains, Silver Spoon. I mean, there just was another one every
week. Full House. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah,
that was when you moved in the 90s. So that's what I mean. Like, there's a history there that they're pulling on, and that's why it's a great show. Like, it's trying to take something modern and put it into the old shows. And I think that's why I like it, because you couldn't just do remakes of the old shows. No one wants to, you know, they've done remakes, but they've had to change them all. So Riverdale is the kind of the flamboyant and more, I don't know, the comics are now just like that. It's really funny because I have an Archie comic. I think it's over at Ed's now. But I have an Archie comic. The new Archie comics are written like Riverdale. You know what I mean? They're written to be more serious and more whatever. Yeah. But Archie comics were just a funny, kind of fun social comic to read back in the day.
That's really, really interesting, actually. Yeah, because is almost like, you know, they're instead of trying to update these old classic things, they're trying to bring this modern thing into that. You know?
Kevin Feige. And please let's also say, because I always see his name and I always feel bad he's not mentioned, Luis Diaz-Posito. Like, he's the other dude who's just always on this. If you watch all the early Marvel stuff, Luis Diaz-Posito is the other man who's like sitting there making the calls on this. He has a couple of the one shots were done by him. I can't remember. Oh, cool. I think Agent Carter, I think, is him, and maybe another one. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they've thought this through. They have clearly sat for a long time on this, and I know they're worried. And it's like, that's why I want to be the guy on the podcast that's like, listen, at least from this MCU fan, like, it's a stroke of genius. Whether it succeeds or fails, like, I like that they took the chance, because it's the kind of thing you should be doing from that position.
Totally. I'm 100% with you there. Completely.
Cool.
All right. Can we talk a little bit about Catherine Hahn? Because God damn if I don't love that actress.
You can. I it's news to me. Here, let us learn all there is to know. Is she the nosy neighbor?
She is, yes. So she is playing Agnes.
Okay.
Which, you know, I've through my messing around on YouTube, some people think that she might be Agatha Harkness, who's somehow connected with Wanda and stuff like that. Again, I haven't really read the comic books. But Catherine Hahn, for me, was almost like, I'd compare her to John C. Reilly, in that I'd seen her in a bunch of stuff, and I always absolutely loved her. And of late, I've kind of known her name more recently. And I think in this, she's so goddamn good, playing that, like, you know, sitcom, you know, comic relief, but then also, again, that weirdness that you talked about, which is, like, compelling, and it's off-putting, right? Like, she's very much at the center of that.
But this is the thing, like, this is the other stroke of masterpiece. So if we get into talking about the acting for a little while, I think that's a good point. Mm. Like, you have to understand that all these actors are having to do types of acting that haven't necessarily been around. Like, I don't know how many sitcoms Paul and Elizabeth would have had, or Lizzie, I think is what she likes to be called, what they would have had to sit around and watch to get this down, because there was timing. Everything was done a certain way, and it's very precise, and it's like, I think, you know, it comes across so well. But then you also have the meta element that this is all semi-fake, and so we know that, you know, and I like how they've established that right off the bat, being like, this isn't real, like, you know what I mean? Like, obviously this is fake, and obviously something's happening, but we can't tell you what that is just quite yet. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
do you like the inclusion of S.W.O.R.D. and the kind of slow drip that they put in the episodes and stuff?
Yeah, we mentioned this when we were messaging the first thing, because when I watched the first two on one night and then the other one on another night, but the first two I watched, I was just blown away. So I emailed out, you know, I texted out immediately and said, this is what I wanted to see. Like, this is what I wanted to see. And this is really before I had time to kind of think about it and think how other people would perceive it for the show, you know, when I was going to talk about it here. But from my perspective, like, I was like, yes, this is WandaVision that I wanted to have. Like, this is exactly what I want to see. It's because, to me, it's like picking up, you know, again, it would be like picking up House of M. I would be going around picking up, I want to see a side story about, you know, these characters. Oh, cool, you're going to put it in here. Great, I can watch this on Disney Plus now. And it's another opportunity, just to point out, it's another thing to safeguard what they're doing on Disney Plus. If this is successful, then they can run these types of shows on Disney Plus to keep their viewership up and to keep people on it. You know what I mean? They can run these little mini comic things using the big actors and the big names. You can bring back Tony Stark and bring him into something different. You can bring back, you know what I mean?
I mean, I'm excited
bring back
for the
Chris
Loki.
Evans. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm excited for the Loki show.
I still haven't seen Endgame, so I don't know everybody who's died, but I was told most people died. And that's the thing. This is your way of keeping that connection open if you want it, because that's what happens. That's how it's done in the comic book. So Kevin is relying on comic book, you know, logic, saying that they, you bring them back, they like their characters. As long as it's an interesting story, they forget about the fact that the person died when they watched Endgame, you know?
I'm super, super intrigued about Vision and how they're going to explain that. Because he seems very much there and not a part of the weirdness, if that makes sense.
And this is the thing. You said, like, and this is where we're talking about production things. Like, you said, oh, I would really love it to watch all nine of these at once. I would never give you this show all nine at once. I would do it exactly as... Why? Because you're coming back. You're going to come back on Friday and watch this. And you may watch it right on Friday because you're interested now. Because we've watched the other ones. Everyone's going to do that. And you've only got to sit for a half hour. Kevin's bet is that that's going to happen enough times for him to be in the money. I would tend to agree. It's a small ask. You're asking people who love the MCU to come. Yeah. They're all going to come anyway. They were going to be there. Yeah. They're like your Star Wars fans. They were going to show up in droves. Yeah. So that's already, you know, your viewership on Disney Plus that buys it just to get their MCU fix, right?
Yeah.
And just to get that all in one place. But then you've got your Disney Plus subscribers. So your Mary Poppins people, your, you know, maybe your Star Wars people are like, I don't really do MCU, but what's this WandaVision thing?
Yeah,
then
here's
the problem, I think, with that. So the other side of the coin.
Mm.
The chatter that I hear about this hasn't necessarily been great. Even our chatter hasn't been great about it. But everybody's kind of back and forth and being like, it's a weird show.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, well, I hope that by the end of the run, you know, because so many shows, man, even like shows that I love, like Daredevil, Jessica Jones, other things, you know, even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, it took some of those like a whole season to start getting, you know, like truly interesting and stuff like that. And, you know, here we've had three episodes and they've been really good. It always came down to, I want more. But like you say, that's probably the right thing to do, right? You're appealing to someone to come back week after week, you know. And that's probably the right thing to do.
I would say my only qualm, I don't know if I ever have an only qualm, but my qualm would be, as I said, it's marketing, not story writing. Like, it's I think it is going to be a great story. And I think, you know what I mean? Like, that's not what I'm trying to say is it's a shit story. Obviously, no one would watch it if it's a shit story, but you're pulling on a marketing technique. You're saying, I think people will give me 30 minutes of their time on a Friday because I'm writing this. I don't necessarily think it will be for them, but I think by the end of the experience, they'll enjoy it.
Hmm. Very interesting. Yeah, when you put it in that kind of context, like it makes a lot more sense.
It's not that it reeks of desperation, but it's on the tip of what Star Wars did so heavily as to piss me off. Like, Star Wars constantly just said, it doesn't matter, we have fans. So, again, Rise of Skywalker... Why did it not matter? Because it was always going to have a billion people there. You know what I mean? Solo, always going to have a billion people there. You know what I mean? And it's like, I just wanted them to get away from using that as a technique. Now, MCU has... I know, every time
I just bring up... No, it's so funny. So, I'm starting to play a Star Wars RPG with my brother and someone else. And, like, one of my rules when we got together and we were, like, talking online was like, okay... We're not allowed to shit on the sequels because otherwise we're just going to spend all our time just doing that every time we get together.
Ed has spent much too time on this podcast listening to me bitch about The Rise of Skywalker. Can we all get it? I didn't like the film. I haven't watched it since then. I probably like it now.
It's interesting. I kind of want to re-listen to some of our Star Wars podcasts before The Mandalorian and stuff because I think I might completely disagree with myself now. Which is interesting.
It was the Mando for me fixed the Star Wars universe. So I'm just like a petulant child when it comes to this stuff. I think like most fans. And so once you made things better and expanded the universe for me, then I was happy. I felt like you were being diverse enough. My problem, again, with the Star Wars like whole thing was it was nine episodes on one, you know, dude changing the world. Like we just gotten away as a populace and as a popular movement. Like that is... No longer one of the most popular stories in my view.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It is actually quite the opposite. The people are almost tired of hearing about the dude who needs to find a sword and save the damsel in distress. You know what I mean?
So do you kind of hope that, you know, through the Disney Plus stuff that we're going to get like more of the Marvel comic book characters.
That's right. So House of M is going to be a different story. I'm just keep saying it because I think it is going to be House of M. But that story is not going to be about a hero. Okay? Mm. If it is what it's supposed to be, and again, if you want to spoil it, then look up the plot for House of M, because I think that's what they're going to do.
It's funny, talking about it is getting me more excited for Friday.
It's horrible, because it's like, because I'm like, I looked at it, and I'm like, well, that's clearly what they're going to do then, you know, like, because you mentioned House of M, and I said, oh, I don't remember, I thought that was House of Magneto at first. I'm like, no, it's House of Maximoff, so it's about the Scarlet Witch, and it's about something that she does. And so,
No, I don't. I don't want to know, because I've already had like people on YouTube be like, "Oh, and she does this in the car," and I was like, what?
"Now they will. They will move it enough from that, so it's not. So it's a new experience even for those people, because I don't think they would just do House of M. But I think that's what you're. I think you're going to end with that, where you're going to get actually this really horrible look in the mirror at the Scarlet Witch and be like, wow, she's twisted. And it's going to be like, well, of course. Like,
I'm excited for that, though. I'm super excited for that. Because, again, the Scarlet Witch is a character that I've never kind of known much about her, but I've heard that she's supposed to be like this uber-powerful, you know, mutant, technically.
Well, and let me just... Yeah, I mean, that goes back to my... The other thing this is doing for me, and again, this is why I thought it might have been contractual... Because this is making me, you know, fall in love with Elizabeth Olsen. You know what I mean?
Oh, she's so great.
Is so good in this, and I've not really seen her before. Like, to be fair, this is
I loved her in that cult movie, Marcy May Marlene or something like that.
Mazzy May. Yeah, I didn't see that. Is it good?
It's really good. Really good. Maisie and she's incredible. Yeah, Marcy May Marlene or something.
I mean, she had the list, man, and maybe I've got it here. It was like I was trying to see what she was in. You know, being the idiot that I am, it only dawned on me far too late that she was the little sister of the Olsen twins, and I was like, oh, okay,
yeah,
that's why she looks so similar to those two.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
I was like, I just the striking similarity. But you know, as far as her credits, as far as big stuff, like she hasn't been in that much. She was in Godzilla, I think, was the other big one that she was in. Hold on, I'm just finding it here.
She was in the Old Boy remake. Which...
Yeah, and I didn't catch that. I didn't catch Wind River. Ingrid Goes West. Didn't catch Drunk History. I would have liked to have seen her in that. I will go back and watch her in Drunk History because I'm sure it's hilarious. Yeah,
Martha Marcy May Marlene was the first time I saw her, and I was super impressed by her.
And that's, I think, as I said, that's one of her older ones. So that's, hold on. Yeah, that's 2011 when she did that one. And she did a bunch. It looks like she did Silent House, which is a remake of La Casa Muda, which is that single take that I love from, I think that was from, it's not Panama, it's Paraguay, or Uruguay. I'm terrible with either one of you guys.
Oh, yeah. The Guays,
sorry. Sorry. I love you, both. Both. But the remake was all right. It was a remake because no one wanted to watch the thing with dubbing. So, and then she was apparently in Full House for an episode. So, do you know what I mean? Like, she was in Red Lights.
Yeah.
But I guess my point is I hadn't really seen her before. Like, really, even in the MCU stuff, everything that I've seen, mate, like, she still plays kind of a background role, except for, you know, recently she'd be coming into more power because Age of Ultron's when they find her, and then Civil War, she starts picking up a lot. But she's still kind of this, like, horribly – she's treated like an X-Men. So you referenced that before, and you were like, it feels kind of X-Men-ish. It is, because she's treated like a mutant. So she's treated like someone who can't control herself and is always in trouble, and powers, we have to, like – make sure she doesn't hurt herself. And so this is the first time I'm getting to see any of like the personality that's supposed to go behind Wanda. And Elizabeth Olsen as an actress is just delivering it in droves.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's what's needed. And I guess that's my other point as to why this is a masterpiece. You're filling in backstory for a character that may later appear again in a film, but you're not having, like, you could do it. You're doing it in a sitcom that anybody could watch. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what if, you know, it's just interesting. Like, because, again, my daughter was asking, what are your favorite, you know, what are the female Marvel people? And it's like, I could point her to this once she starts understanding who the Scarlet Witch is. And be like, oh, watch WandaVision then, because she plays one of the characters in that. So, I guess the long rant, you know, it's the expansion. And that's what he's doing. He's doing what they did with the Mando. We're expanding MCU out past the confines of doing it. The difference here versus what we did with Netflix... The timing in Netflix was all wrong, okay?
Okay.
Jessica Jones, season 2, talking about the raft in 13 episodes before I'm supposed to get to Infinity War, like, no. Like, it hasn't been set up enough. We haven't created the world enough. Like, there just isn't enough there for me to, like, say, WandaVision, for whatever reason, it's in it. The reason is because Kevin and Louis, Louis D'Esposito, have given their full attention to this, like they did. This feels perfect. It's like, okay, this is what I'll watch while I'm waiting for you to come up with, while I'm waiting for you to expand my world and show me the rest of the, because we can't really go back to the Infinity Stones. That's done. You know what I mean? Like, and we can go back to Cap and Iron Man, but they got to come in a new way now. And so it's getting, it's like getting everything out there and telling the stories that still need to be told. The Love and Thunder. So what is it like from, you know, the perspective of the professor who's going to, you know, the professor who's going to become Thor? I think that's, as much as I was completely against it at first, which you can listen to me tell and say that on a podcast, you know, now I'm like, I get it now. I think it's going to be great. The legend of the, no, I want to say Legend of the Five Rings because it's a card game I used to play. It's the legend of the, the whatever
the
it is.
Legend the Ten Rings.
The Ten Rings. Like, that's going to be a really great exposition. Shang-Chi. It's going to be a great story that's going to be told in a really different way. Black Widow's finally coming out, so we can finally see some more good action. I think that's the phase that we're in, and I'm not sure whether we'll have a plot capitulation or not. In other words, not everything centers around one capitulation. Here, WandaVision will center around, you know, us finding out a lot about the Scarlet Witch. You know, Black Widow will focus on us learning more about Black Widow, because she's dead now, I think, I'm pretty sure. And then, you know, all this stuff's going to give us more stories so that when they come back with the next big epic, which could be Secret Wars, you know, then we have more to play with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we don't have things like the way this was done differently in Phase 3 and in the previous MCU, you had late additions that didn't always feel right. Ant-Man is a perfect example. That came far later than it should have, because it was an origin story coming at the tail end of, you know, Phase 2.
It was so familiar with so many other characters and stuff.
That's right. And so you're going to have Ant-Man and Wasp, which is going to come between Infinity Wars and Endgame, and it's just out of place. It's going to have, obviously, it's taking place before then, but, you know, it was released after, and it just all feels. And the biggest example to me is always Captain Marvel. Now, I haven't watched it. It may be a reason it had to be released when it did.
I rewatched it the other day, man. And I actually enjoyed the crap out of it.
I think it's going to be great. I just think it was very late in the game to introduce the first all-female superhero.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I get what you mean in terms of timing and stuff like that. Here's a question.
No, go ahead.
Sorry, go on.
No, I'm just saying that happened.
Finish your point.
That happened because of how the whole thing played out. You know, 2007 comes around. Marvel's about to go bankrupt. You know what I mean? So just think of that, guys. Like 13 years ago.
Yeah, crazy.
You know, Marvel nearly wasn't Marvel anymore. It was gone. You know what I mean?
John Favreau, like, man. John Favreau. All comes back to my man, John.
Absolutely just about dead. You know what I mean? And it gets resurrected, you know, via this kind of whole theme. And that's why all these origin stories don't end up. I mean, that's why we have an Incredible Hulk played by, you know, the awesome Mark Ruffalo, but obviously was originally done by Ed Norton. And why, you know, it's funny, they were talking about the 10-year legacy and how they took the captain from that, the grumpy, badass general that's
Ross.
In that.
General Ross.
Moved him forward in the MCU. And I was like, I almost smirked at them when they did that, because I was like, you know what? Like, you got fucking lucky because
They're bringing him back.
They are. Like, they keep talking about him. And I'm like, and I was just laughing. I'm like, you're lucky. You're getting a second dip at that.
And Tim Roth, who played the Abomination. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, and that's, it's because, like, you couldn't bring forward Ed Norton. So for the longest time, this all got kind of funny. Like, there wasn't a second Hulk or a third Hulk.
Right.
Where I imagine there was supposed to be. Just ignored it. Yeah, there was supposed to be. There definitely was. There was a second Thor.
It's a universal thing, isn't it? Like, they own the rights, and Marvel can use him as long as he's not, it's not a film about him. It's just one of those crazy things. Eventually, he'll come back. But I did want to ask you a question about the other Disney Plus shows that are coming. So you've got Falcon and the Winter Soldier. You've got the Loki show. And I think you've got She-Hulk as well, which they've announced. And I'm just wondering if, before having seen the first three episodes of WandaVision, if you were presented with those four options, She-Hulk, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Loki, and Wanda and Vision, which one would you have picked as, like, oh, that's where you should kick it off with?
That's a good question. Personally, because I don't know where WandaVision is going, I would have stuck with something that's more Mando style. So gone with, you know, what we know will have viewership, which is Falcon and Winter Soldier. Like, people are going to watch that. Now, my problem with this, I'm not sure how interested people are going to be in that. Some people really like the Falcon. Some people kind of like the Winter. I always feel the Winter Soldier is the most, and this isn't because I don't like the character or the actor. I like both.
Yeah.
But I think they're kind of overplayed. Like, people are like, oh, the Winter Soldier. And it's like, I don't know that many people that are that excited about the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, yeah. He does seem like a not necessarily
maybe it's just me being a prick. It's because they put a the in front of his name. But I'm like, you know, like, I'm sorry. I know, like, it's like, you know, he's not the Captain America. So I guess that's my issue. It's like, this is, if it plays out the way it's supposed to be, it's going to be 9 episodes, contained story, something that's not meant to branch into another story, but give you a really good glimpse. Maybe a good start, but I'm not sure what you're saying, because I haven't really asked for your opinion, but I'm hesitant. I'm saying, I never try to doubt Kevin Feige, and I never really would, because I don't think at the end of the day it'll really play too much with the numbers, but...
We should get t-shirts that say, in Feige we trust.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Like, that's what I'm saying. If he was my boss, that's what you're asking. You're saying, like, if he was your boss and you had to do this, it's like, I'd be like, okay... I'd be like, I'm not sure. I'm sure I would ask a lot of questions. I'm sure I would say, like, are we sure this is what we want to run now? Do we have to run this now? There are answers to these questions. I'm sure we just don't have them, you know? And I'm not sure they're going to tell because they've been, you know, things are in such disarray because of the, you know, lockdowns and all that
stuff. Right, the schedules and stuff. Yeah.
So, you know, it's like not talking about the budget and stuff. That's where we lose. And this is, you know, this is another one for Paul. The problem we have with stuff like this, Paul, is like indie filmmakers are one breed, and we are a type that literally will tell you everything about our films because everything is privately funded. We're not worried. We're like, we'll tell you what the budget is. It's going to be this. You know, we're not worried about breaking holes in everything. That's not how it works on the studio model. Like, they don't openly want to talk about their budgets, or if they do, they're going to lie about them and say they're too little. Right. It's just the way things are done, and so. The transparency we need to kind of see whether or not this really was as smart of a decision or not, I don't think we'll ever get. As far as is it, you know, is it something to watch during lockdown? Absolutely. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's
I was super happy when it came out. I was waiting for it, man. I was like, fucking.
But that's what I'm saying. With business decisions, it's like, I think that's where it comes down to. You have the art decision, and I think that one's where they hesitated, and they said, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know. Or maybe, again, that's the one where you could sit with Kevin Feige, and he may say, no. This is going to blow your mind when it gets done. Trust me.
That's certainly possible.
So that's possible, but I don't know. And it's only, as you said, in Feige we trust. So we would say probably, you know? Like, I waited forever for some of the Netflix film shows to come around. And even Mr. Loeb, you know, brought those around eventually. Daredevil gets much more interesting. Jessica Jones now, I think, on a better track. Something that's much more bingeable. Because that's what those shows have to be, is very bingeable. Because you're just going to sit down and watch as much as possible. So with all that in mind, you know what I mean? Like, it's all good. It's just... You know, I think no matter what, as a business decision, it had to come out now. Like, I just don't think they had any more leeway to wait and say, maybe we'll release it when things are better. People are stuck at home. There's no reason not to release it. So it's like, we'll just put it out now.
Because I have also heard that she's going to appear in the next Doctor Strange.
She is. Yeah, she's listed as the Multiverse of Madness. She's in production for it, so... So that could be cool. Like, that's the thing. Like, that's what tends to lend me to believe that actually you're going to get a showcase on the Scarlet Witch. So when you watch Doctor Strange, you're going to have, like, he connects. He knows how to do that. And I think the reason he knows how to do it is if you go in the process like me of watching every MCU whatever, you'd get the impression from a know-it-all like me that somehow it's going to be really complicated and I'm going to see the really complicated connections between everything. I think the whole point of the exercise that I can tell you is that the things that work are not the complicated connections, the simple connections and references, easy ones. You want to make people connect the dots between S.H.I.E.L.D. and the films, and Agent Carter and the films, and the TV shows and the films. Where they do it really obviously, it ends up going well. Where they don't end up doing it obviously, it doesn't make as much sense. All the content is generally good. The best content is the stuff that plays into the big arcs. The big arcs are all found in the films, not the shows otherwise. Very true. There you go. This may be different. If this is the start of taking one of the big arcs and sticking it in the TV show and then flourishing it into, you know, what happens in the Doctor Strange film, that would be most excellent. That would be a promise finally fulfilled, because the only thing that lets you down about all the content in the MCU is all the kind of unnecessary content. Like, could have done without the Netflix shows. They didn't need to happen when they did, I guess. Maybe from a business standpoint, again, we talk about the art. I'm speaking about whether they need to happen from an artistic standpoint. Maybe from a business standpoint, it was the right time and it had to be done. You know what I mean? I don't have those figures, nor do I really have, you know, that's based on viewership. So it's very difficult for me to tell you how successful they were or weren't with those streams. And I think, again, that's maybe my last point. This is all being done on streaming, guys, so no one really knows how well or how not well. I hear that people desubscribe from streaming services now like it's the plague when they don't like something. Yeah, it's very easy for people to switch because you're not locked in for a year, mate, unless you paid for us like a year. Most people are locked in for a month, and so they'll just, you know, I don't want to go on for the next month, and I'll move on to something else. And so if a show just stops and they don't want it anymore, they'll move on to what they can afford. You know, and that's an interesting thing. And so whether or not this strategy works then, because there's not going to be press about how everyone is watching this and how everyone is doing this. And you had that with the MCU, this whole drive towards Endgame, where if you weren't in the know, you were FOMO. You know what I mean? You were just, you were one of the unlucky few that knew nothing about the MCU. You had to get on board for this. I don't think streaming plays the same cards. And so it, we just have to see whether the gamble they've taken on the show being a little bit, let's not even say a little bit. Let's say a lot of experimental. Is that fair to say, Ed?
I think that's fair to say.
Being very experimental, whether it pans out in the end. But those are my final thoughts. I loved it. It's a masterpiece. It's everything. I have faith in Kevin Feige has well-crafted this. The technical aspects of the show, which we haven't really talked about in depth, but were amazing to me. The VFX and stuff. Yeah. That's where that Disney budget starts coming in, and you start seeing things that you wouldn't normally be able to see. And that's why, for me, it will stand out as a show to watch for the year. Because even if you don't like the MCU, watch this to see things done with a sitcom and with comic book characters and all this shit that you wouldn't normally get to see in a TV show.
And, you know, the few moments which are, this is probably going to be my last point, but the few moments which are, like, revelatory as to, something really weird is going on, whether it's the adverts for the products, you know, like the Strucker watch.
Yeah, right.
The Stark toaster, Hydra soak, bubble bath, you know, like, and also this, like, because this is the thing about Scarlet Witch that I've always intuited, which was, like, she's super powerful, and I'd kind of like to see her, like, flex her muscles. And when she steps outside and sees the beekeeper at the end of, I think it's the second episode.
It's right before the baby.
Yeah, and she just says, no. And it just, like, rewinds, and she basically says, I do not accept this reality, let's go and make it something
else.
It's a similar,
this is the thing, I know this character, this archetype character, not the Scarlet Witch, but I know the archetype character better through Jean Grey, because I was an X-Men fan, the Dark Phoenix saga, which, you know, was decent in the movie, I've watched the movie now, and I didn't think it was nearly as bad as people made it, but maybe it's because I'm watching all this stuff.
I rewatched it recently as well, the thing is, the X-Men are my one true love, and I just for a while now I felt that they haven't been doing them justice, but you know, that's just,
I think I watched Apocalypse and it was like, Apocalypse was all right, man. I liked Apocalypse. Who didn't like Apocalypse? And it was like, that was one of the worst ones. I'm like, well, yeah, in the series, like Days of Future Past was like mind blowing, but you don't often get to, you know what I mean? Like, I went to the fucking premiere of that, if I remember correctly. So, you know what I mean? Like, that was.
But I would really love it if you checked out Legion.
I know.
When you get the chance, because I think you will really, really, really.
And
we may bring it up here
if it's that good. That because Ed has mentioned it many times on this podcast. If it's that good, we'll bring it for you all to hear, and we'll talk a little bit about it. So, but you know, the tormented, super powered female is a Marvel character, and there's a couple versions of that in DC as well. But Scarlet Witch and Jean Grey come to mind. I'm only thinking of this because Jean Grey, I'm just reading All New X-Men 2014, number one. This is why we need to do the comic book show, so you guys can hear about this.
Yeah.
It's all about the trial of Jean Grey. In this particular version of the X-Men, she has gone to the future. She's gone back in time, but then seen her death twice, seen her marriage to Scott, you know, go completely sideways, and all this destruction. And then she goes back, and she's like a teenager, and it's just showing like how messed up she is. And she's having a fight with Scott about it. He's like, "You can talk to me." And she's like, "Why would I want to talk to anybody? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, how am I supposed to deal with having all this?" And it's always been that way with her. Dark Phoenix was that way. You know, like the whole idea is you have this. And it's almost super a misogynistic power, kind of thing. Yeah. It's almost this fragile character with a powerful insight. I think what they're going to try to break is a bit of that fragile character archetype and say she's really powerful and she controls her own shit. You know what I mean? But this is the kind of mess that she creates for herself. Almost the Jessica Jones. Jessica Jones is kind of the anti, you know, I don't know how many of you watch Jessica Jones. I love it because it's clear. It's such a clear statement. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a clear character, but she is not your hero. She is a female anti-hero all the way.
Can I ask you a question about WandaVision?
Yes.
Do you think Wanda is actually the bad guy in this?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It could be. This could all be in her own head. Like, it just depends. It doesn't have to be. But that's what I mean. Like, she again, spoilers in House of M discussions, because so once you read the description of House of M and then you watch this show, you'll be like, yeah, that looks like what's happening. You know what I mean? Like, that looks kind of what's happening. So
gotcha. That's what I mean. Yeah. I mean, they're signaling it fairly well, I think.
And I say, whatever they do, I cannot believe that Louis Desposito, because they're schooled on this and they live through Lost and all this stuff. The other thing is, like, the guy who's directing this, okay, so, you know, like, before we get too far from that, the guy who's directing this has directed every TV show known to man, at least one episode. Like, I love this guy's resume. He had done one episode of, like, every cool show in the past 10
Matt
years.
Matt Shackman.
Yes. So just go through his IMDb, like, do it yourself, go through the IMDb production stuff. I'm not kidding. This guy's done, like, one show of everything cool you can think of.
Yeah. Including Always Sunny.
I just can't believe he's going to get all this together and get all this together without there being this massive payoff for fans at the end. I don't think we're going to have, you know, the problems that we had. I don't think it's going to be like, I guess the best comparison would be a Last Jedi. So Last Jedi, yeah. I love the film. Ed loved the film, but fans generally didn't, because it was like,
it was just the wrong way to go.
What are you doing the franchise? You know? Yeah. And so again, that's the quality control bit. And it was, you know, whether we like the film or not, then you had these revolting fans that led to all these things. I don't think you'll have the same problem here.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think, I hope that people, bless you, I hope that people embrace it, because it's brave to do this kind of experimental stuff. Like, you want these, you know, filmmakers to take risks, I think it makes everything better.
And from the studio model, from a business perspective, and again, please someone jump in the comments if you want to correct me if I'm wrong. I only do this from study. I have not worked for any of the big studios, but from a studio perspective, listen, you're in COVID-19 lockdown. Everybody is still stuck at home. Even in America, most people are still stuck some point at home or watching tons and tons and tons of streaming TV. Now is the time to get the experimental show off. Why? You've already had your big finale with Endgame. So you've got to let that cool down before you put any big tent poles back up again, because people just aren't going to go for that twice. You know, they don't. You know what I mean? We've seen that with things like The Hobbit and other things that didn't strike iron twice for those reasons.
Right.
So this is the time to release an experimental – a show at least that appears from the first three episodes to be quite experimental but entertaining. I mean, generally that's I guess, closing message for people listening. Like, I would say it's a good show, Ed, right? Like, at least worth watching.
Go and watch it. Totally. Totally, you know what I mean? Worth watching.
Like, worth watching. So, if nothing else, because it's 30 minutes. So, drop it now, and if it doesn't work, then you can sweep it under the rug as part of the COVID mess.
And that's the thing, isn't it? Like, I think that it's some smart decisions have been made. And, you know, probably inspired by the 30-minute sitcom model, you know?
And this is the thing, and for me, it's for the art. Like, you know, if nothing else, it's absolutely clear to me. And watch the credits, please don't let Disney get you off those credits, because they go on for a while. Like, watch the credits. There are a ton of people who worked on this, and the craftsmanship, again, this is why I'm an MCU guy. Everything in the MCU has to be high quality, and this is high quality, like, really high quality. And so that's why I'm like, watch it. You know, even if you don't like it, even if it's too weird for you, just give it a watch till the end of it. If it doesn't work out, then I'll eat my own words. But Kevin Feige doesn't normally disappoint anybody. So, do you know what I mean? Like, that's just not his style. So mark my words, if you want, you know, this is going to get really cool as we keep moving.
I think so. I think it's going to get cool. And I'm excited to see a couple of characters actors. Randall Park, who is one of my favorite actors, he's in it. He plays like a sword agent.
Okay.
There's also the young girl who's like a scientist in Thor. Or is she like related to Natalie Portman's character?
The assistant.
Yeah. She's also in it.
She does lots of sitcoms, so yeah, that would make. She's been in lots of sitcom TV. So
I like her. So I'm looking forward to you know these characters kind of coming up and stuff like that. And the mystery is super intriguing.
I think that's the thing. I would say from a UK perspective. Now we have tons of listeners in San Fran in the US. So if in the US, I think you get the sitcom model. Just inherently better than someone who's not used to this, because as I said, having watched UK sitcoms and sitcoms from all over the world, like, they're not the same. Like, they don't follow the same cheesy format, and people don't buy into them as quickly as Americans do. Like, we are so willing to watch another sitcom. So, but I think for those of you that aren't familiar with it, this is a great showcase of like all the great sitcoms. Again, the guy who's working on this guy who's did It's Sunny in Philadelphia, so another great sitcom. Yeah. So this is what I mean. Like, it's trying to get you from a different angle. This is not about action comic books. This is about getting you to think about superheroes in context other than superheroes, I guess. So that's why I love it.
Yeah. I just rewatched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode... Matt gets his pride. Brilliant. So good. The best.
And it's perfect stuff right about now.
It made me really want to watch... What was the name of that show? You were really, really into it. It's about the guy who is like a computer game designer or something.
You haven't watched Mythic Quest yet.
Mythic Quest, thank you. No, I haven't, and I need to watch it.
That's one... I would do a podcast on that. Only because it's only... Yeah. That's another short series... At least it was. I don't know if it's been renewed for season 2. I haven't checked that. It's a good... Oh, got it. You could be adding more to my plate tonight. but, yeah, I mean, season 1 was awesome. And then they had a special COVID episode. It's one of those shows that isn't brilliant. It's watchable because it's sitcom format, so it's quick. That's the one I told you I'd want to do a podcast, because the middle episode has nothing to do, aside from one tenuous like tie to the ending of the show. Or at least the first season. It has no connection, but man, it was like, just like, I got goosebumps just thinking about it. It was just amazing. It was a sitcom, but it was also a romance. It was like, it was just this really small vignette short film that was amazing. Like, it was awesome.
Yeah.
And then the quarantine episode, I think everyone should watch, because it has elements of comedy and other bits that everyone can listen to, like, relate to. It'll make you feel better. But yeah, Mythic Quest, Apple, that's on Mythic Apple Quest. TV. So another one of my streaming services, the bunny that I have.
Another one to add.
Yeah. So I got that one for free for a year. So, you know, I haven't had to make choices yet. And then they told me, my cable's going up by like £4 a month. And I was like, screw you guys.
Jesus.
Like, you're only doing that because I can't get rid of you, because I have to have my cable to have my internet. And it's like,
sons of bitches.
I say that. It's the same thing I would do. I'd be like, wow, we're losing so many people to streaming right now. I'm just going to up the ante a little bit. So I do think that brings us to we're about an hour 15, which is about where I like to stop things. So thank you all so much for listening. I haven't picked out what we're reading or we're doing next week. I was trying to get Michael James Dean on the show, but I haven't heard from him yet. So I will chase him again to see if we can't get him to do something. Otherwise, I will find us somewhere else to watch. I don't know, Ed, how good are you with gore?
I like, you know, Japanese samurai movies which are gory.
I want you to go out and watch this movie called Hosts. It's only because Hosts. It was a Fright Fest film, So okay. a horror film that has recently made its way up to number 3 on the iTunes charts and okay. is getting all of a sudden a lot of attention because it was recently released but kind of released under the radar and it's a very small indie
from
film.
2020 like this.
Yeah, English. No, it was shown at Fright Fest, so it was like, and I think I watched something else at the time it was shown. And just watch it, and then next week we'll come and talk to it. I think it'd be a good one because it's low budget, it's indie, and it's hot right now. So unfortunately, okay. that tends to be our MO for this show. So we will talk to you about.
Is it a shot in quarantine one?
No, not Host. You want to watch Host?
Oh, okay.
Host is a 2020 quarantine film. We could definitely do a podcast okay. on that one, but I haven't watched it yet. So I watched okay. Host last weekend and said Ed needs to see this because it's indie. And I think we need gotcha. To talk about it. So maybe we'll do that for next one. I'll let Ed watch it and then tell me whether or not he wants to talk about it or not. I apologize in advance that if it disturbs you, it's not meant to. Like, it's just a horror movie that's doing well. So I want to talk about why it's been successful and what the good points are.
I mean, I'm always up for, like, doing or getting to watch something. I mean, honestly, one of my favorite things this year was, like, Moorhead and Benson, those films that you introduced me to.
I know, we still have to do Synchrosity and his original one.
Synchronicity, right.
So we'll get to those. But we'll do Host next week, as long as you don't call me and be like, I'm not talking about that film. which I'm a bit worried about. but
Does that sound like me? Let's be honest.
No, you always take it with a smile and say, all right, man, I wasn't particularly keen on some of those scenes, but all right. So we'll talk about that, and otherwise, thanks all for listening. You know, remember the brass tacks. Check out the website, Love Redoria Productions. But otherwise, we will catch you on the flip side. So thank you very much. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.
WandaVision.